This is an ABC podcast.
This is Niche and Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinirao Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Ta alofa to our Tuvalu listeners who have been connected to ABC Radio Australia in the past week or so. Welcome to your first Monday episode of Nijin Footy. This is the best place to keep up to date with all our Pacifica athletes shining bright in the Rugby League and Rugby Union worlds. My name's Tinirao Arona, and my usual koi, Sammy Wykes, is still living it up at the Micronesian game, in Marshall Islands. So doing the back-to-back impact off the bench is my little cuz, Tupo Supuanga Toops. Thanks for coming back, brother.
Kia rana, tolo for lava, cuz. Thanks for having me back-to-back again. So grateful to be here. Lots of stuff coming up this week, which is cool to talk about. Can't wait to chat about the Super Rugby win for the Blues, breaking a 20-year drought, which is pretty cool to see. Plenty of NRL Origin Week, Shelley Long, for all women's footy news, which is going to be awesome. And then we've got special guest, Pepe Sana Patafilo from Moana Pacifica's first, or the best season they've had so far.
As a player agent, watching him, you know, shine and grow at the Moana Pacifica, what are you proud of and, you know, of Peps?
Mate, I just love that he stayed in the fight because he's had injuries after injuries after injuries. But then you look at his career, he's played for the Hurricanes, played for Crusaders, and now he's the franchise player for Moana Pacifica. So, pretty cool.
Won a comp with the Crusaders as well?
Sure did.
Super Rugby comp last year?
Sure did.
Moment of the week.
Well, Toops, before every Niche and Footy Mondays, we like to share a moment of the week, and I've got a couple for you today. My first one is the Tongan 16s girls team, so school girls team.
Yep.
You know, they've got a humbling story where they are the first female league team touring Australia straight from the Kingdom of Tonga.
Wow.
These girls have only just started playing rugby league. A few of them only started playing just in the last couple of years, but they played the New Zealand Maldives over the weekend and came away with their first win in the last few minutes. So great work to the under-16s Tongan schoolgirls team.
I mean, before you know it, they'll probably be playing in the NRLW or even for maybe Australia and New Zealand. So it's a good plug for them to start off their career.
Well, my next moment is a bit about myself. So as you know, I play a bit of A-grade footy for my junior club, St. Clair Comets. We played the rivals, St. Mary's Saints. And your boy over here scored 3 tries. Yes, sir, hat trick. I don't think I've ever done that in my life.
Man, did you even pass the ball in the weekend? Or you must be the oldest in the comp.
35. You know,
still
running over 19-year-olds. Still getting it done, but thought I'd share that moment with you as well.
Bulavinaka, Lotte Tungiri here, and you're listening to Niche and Footy.
Well, Toops, let's rip straight into the footy news in both Coach Rugby League and Rugby Union, and I will kick us off with the NRL. It would be silly if we did not mention this game because no one's seen this result at all coming. The Gold Coast Titans beating the New Zealand Warriors 66-6.
Wow.
11 tries to the Warriors 1, and Jaden Campbell kicked 11 from 11 goals. But two players I want to mention that stood out for me. Two Samoan players, actually. So the first is the left winger, Alofiana Khan Pereira. He scored 4 tries for the Gold Coast Titans. Wow. And the one try that stood out for me was when he was reading Sean Johnson's pass. As Sean Johnson gets it out the back, he goes to pass it to his winger. He puts his hand out, intercepts the ball, and runs 90 metres untouched to score for the Titans.
Last play, Warriors. Egan to the right, Martin. Double cut out to Johnson. His pass intercepted. Lofi Khan Pereira will scoop 90 metres. He's not even got into Usain Bolt opening heat's pace. He is cruising down the Western touchline. 34-0 Gold Coast over the Warriors. Khan Pereira runs 90. And if you're in blue, it's a party. If you're not, you are blue. And there's heaps of Waz fans who cannot believe what's going on here.
I thought he was talking about the State of Origin, but that's to come on Wednesday night. If you're in blue, I'm hoping, yes, it's a party for the New South Welshmen. But the other player that stood out for me was the Samoan fullback, Keanu Kinney. Now, he ran for just under 250 metres. He had one try assist, and he scored two tries of his own. But, geez, he's rapid. The way that he just hits the holes, he hit this hole off Karen Foran, dropped underneath him, hits this hole, breaks the line, finds himself in open space. Now, usually those players, when they come into open space, they wait for another support runner so they can do a 2v2 with 2v1 against the fullback. Nah, he decides to pin the ears back, speed him for speed, beat Chance Nickel-Clods there for speed to the try line, and he gets the job done.
Titans lead 36-0. Here's Foran to the right, second man. Kinney through a hole! Mini Kinney makes it 14-0! This is a demolition job!
Worrying signs for the Warriors. What are your thoughts? You think they can still come back from this big defeat?
I think they can, but they do have to make a few, I guess, decisions around selections. You know, a couple of weeks ago they beat Penrith, and that was a decimated team. This is probably close to their fully strength team. It's worrying signs for sure.
Yeah, they had Roger Toivasa-Sheck back from injury. Sean Johnson, who I mentioned, played. Adam Fanua-Blake. They do have the star power there, but they just need to find a way to bring it together, especially in these games. Moving on to my next game, I thought the Roosters were outstanding against the Bulldogs. They beat them 26-8. A huge performance from Tor Samoan representative Terrell May. I've mentioned his name a few times here on Knees and Footy, but geez, he killed it in this game. Running over 200 metres, three offloads, a couple of those offloads, which led to line breaks, and 37 tackles and a try of his own as well. But the reason why I want to talk about this this game in particular is there's been another rugby union convert.
Oh, is everyone be too happy about that?
Yes, the Bulldogs winger. He's ex-Australian Sevens player. He's an ex-Melbourne Rebel. His name is Jarrell Skelton. Now, Jarrell had an unbelievable game this one. Even though their team lost, the 25-year-old Samoan put one of the biggest hits on Junior Bonga, the centre for Roosters. Oh, mate, an absolute bone rattler.
Smith at dummy half. He comes left for Keary. Now Tedesco. Oh! Junior Ponga has been hit in the tackle of the season by Jarrell Skelton. Absolutely flattened.
Man, Junior Ponga is not a small person as well.
Nah, he read the pass, got the timing right, and just, you know, got that target right where his left shoulder straight into the rib cage of Junes. But on the back of that, he also had one try assist where he breaks the line, draws in past the defender to another Bulldogs player to score a try, but he scores a 90-metre try just like Alofiana Kampedeta.
Out of dummy half is Joey Manu. He gets it away to Keary for the cross-field kick. Tupou bats it backwards. Picked up by Toby Sexton, and then he gets it away to Skelton. Skelton could run 80 and score here. The Roosters are coming. Look at Satili Topinua coming across to try to stop Jarrell Skelton, but they won't. Jarrell Skelton runs 85 metres and scores in the corner for the Bulldogs. It started with a cross-field kick from Luke Keary. Daniel Tupou batted it backwards, picked up by Toby Sexton, and he sent Jarrell Skelton on his way.
Definitely a player to look out for, and I know Sammy would be filthy that another rugby union player is shining bright. Mate, on the NRL
another rugby union player probably going to be a test veteran or something like that, so... You know, another one bites the dust for rugby union. Jesus.
Yep, so Roosters got the job done there. And remember, you can hear every NRL game each week live on ABC Radio Australia. And the New South Wales jersey flag, the Cavite Silktails, they lost again to the Storm in Nandi, 28-10. They play Manly at Brookvale this weekend. The Cavite Silktails are struggling this season.
Yeah, they're chipping away though. You know, I know it's not as easy to come into jersey flag, but you know, before you know it, you probably have a few franchise footy players in that team.
Yeah, they'll always bring, you know, the next man up mentality, and you know, they've got some flyers that are ready to break the scene. And the Queensland Cup, the PNG Hunters had the bye this weekend. They play Ipswich Jets this weekend coming. They're playing at Ipswich, but it is a really tight competition this year with only 2 points separating fifth and 13th on the Queensland Cup ladder. Let's touch quickly on the Origin. So this Wednesday night, we've got New South Wales, Queensland, game two. New South Wales needing to win this to keep the series alive. Just want to got a couple fun facts here. Five Origin games have been played at the MCG, so down in Melbourne. New South Wales have won four of them. Now, the last time New South Wales come back from a 1-0 to win the series was about 30 years ago, and this game, the game two, was also played in Melbourne. So if there are any of your people listening and you like those omens, you know, it's lined up to be a good party for the Blues. They're expecting 90,000 people there, which would beat the attendance for game one in that was played in Sydney.
Yeah, so it's going to be a big big performance coming up for the state. So for any Blues fans, you know, hopefully the good omens come through. Over to Rugby Union now in Super Rugby Pacific. We had the Super Rugby final where the Blues took on the Chiefs. The Blues absolutely decimated the Chiefs 41-10. Some of the big takeaways from that, you had five tries to one, Caleb Clark scoring three of those tries. The captain, Patrick Tuipulotu, getting the man of the match performance, but also it's Akira Ioane's last game before he goes and takes the cash over in Japan.
What about that try that Caleb scored where the Ioane brothers were about to get taken over the sideline? A quick pop up to the next brother, the other brother pops it up, and then Caleb just finds the line. Absolute.
Well, imagine trying to tackle fish. You got to tackle Rico, then you think, okay, I'll tackle Rico, then you pass it over to the brother. Oh, I've got to tackle Akira. Okay, cool. Then they're going to pass it over to Caleb, then you've got to tackle Caleb. You know, there's the three of the biggest bodies in all of Super Rugby that you're trying to take in one phase.
So. Even that try as well where Caleb just put his body on the line, hits the hole off the scrum, and it's like he had no care whatsoever for his body. He just wanted to put his body on the line for the city and then gets another try for Auckland City, man. He's quite a player, that fella.
Yeah, it was a cool moment to see Rico saying how much it meant to him. And in this interview, he mentioned, you know, this title means more to me than a World Cup.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's pretty, I guess it's got doing the rounds at the moment. But I think if you're from Auckland City, you haven't seen a premiership for the last 20 years. So for him and his brother to be a part of multiple wooden spoons and I guess multiple losses, different coaches, to finally get one together with your brother, it's pretty cool to see. Also cool to see Patrick Tuipulotu get man of the match after missing out Super Rugby semi-finals last week. So unfortunately for the Chiefs, you know, they've been in a couple of finals over the last couple of years and haven't managed to, I guess, get it over the line. You've got to recoup and I guess you have to go again, unfortunately. In other news for rugby, you had Fiji take on Barbarians. They lost 32-45. I think some of the main things for that, you know, is just getting availability for the Fiji team, right? You know, you've got all these awesome Fijian players playing in different markets. They're going against the international window. You know, you're trying to pull players from, I guess, multiple teams, getting to play for the national teams. At the end of the day, the people that pay your paycheck is your club teams. So, you know, for them to play Barbarians and get that result, not the worst, but something to build off, really.
Yeah, Sammy sent me a tweet that was sent from the Drua CEO, Mark Evans, and he tweeted, I'll read it out. So, worth pointing out that the Flying Fijian 23 that ran the Barbarians close, after arriving in the UK 36 hours before kickoff, after three flights in economy class, had only 12 players available of the 33 announced to play Georgia and the All Blacks made some performance. So that was from the Drua CEO, yeah. Proud of how the boys turned up, played the Barbarians, proud of how they represented Fiji.
I always feel like the Pacific nations always get the short strings with the biggest matches. So for them to perform like they do, you know, it's always credit to their ability and also, I guess, the short turnarounds that they do have when they do play.
It reminded me, actually, now that we were talking about it, when your brother, Lima Sopoange, so he represents the Manu Samoa in the World Cup, and then he sends a photo of his economy class back to Japan. I'm like, bro, your legs are short anyway. You're fine. But he's too busy Sorry, he's been too used to catching those business flights everywhere.
Yeah, well, I mean, as much as you want to be getting the franchise treatment, you know, that's just the way it is at the moment. Hopefully things change in the future. The Wallaby squad got announced this last week. Some names to take hold of. We had Noah Lolosile, so it's good to see him back in the frame, being the main first five for the next couple of years, building it to the World Cup. That will be very interesting to see. You've got Daniela Tupou, Rob Valentini. So a lot of Pacifica names that are probably going to carry the country going into the World Cup, which would be great. All the best for the upcoming tests that are coming up as well. Now over to the Rugby Sevens in the Olympics. The pools for the Rugby Sevens in the Olympics were drawn over the weekend, so we had the men, Samoa and Pool B with Australia, Argentina and Kenya. And then Fiji are in Pool C with France, USA and Uruguay. So they're in a good group. France only finished one spot higher in the Sevens tournament, although they're the home team. So good opportunity for them to capitalise on their position.
Let's go Fiji.
Come on, the flying Fijians. Over we've got Tonga. They took part in the Olympics Repechage qualifying tournament over the weekend, but unfortunately couldn't make it through to the final. They beat Mexico, but lost to Chile and eventual winners South Africa, and lost in the quarterfinals to Great Britain, who made the final. And lastly, PNG were late withdrawal from the tournament, so lots going on in the senior space.
There's a fair bit going on in rugby union. Thanks for that, Toops. Thanks for the update. Let's head over to our expert covering all the women's footy in both codes, our girl, Shelley Long.
The long story short... with Shelley Long.
Yes, each week covering the women's footy on both codes, we have our PNG Orchid superstar and North Queensland Cowboy NRLW player, Shelley Long. Shelley, thank you for coming back. And you might have realised Sammy Wykes isn't here, so we've got my little cuz Toops covering off the bench, making a bit of an impact.
Oh, I reckon already so much better.
Well, I'll give you about 30 seconds to rip into Sammy on why, you know, where he is and he's not being here, because he does it every time for you. So the floor is yours.
Honestly, like, I'm thinking, where is he? He's always missing. I'm always on. And, yeah, I don't know. I feel like, you know, these work holidays, I think they're more holidays than work, especially his posts.
Oh, when he's posting photos and videos when he's on in Hawaii on the beach, I'm like, bro, that doesn't look like work. But anyways, this is all about you. How's preseason going? Talk us through what you've been up to.
Oh, it's been good. We've picked up the pace a little bit last week, so the intensity is starting to rise, you know, getting closer to the season now. We've got 4 weeks out until we start competing, so it's been good, though. It's been exciting. I think the relationships and the connections that we've built in the team are looking really strong, but also the on-field stuff is starting to look a lot better than I think it was last year at this time in preseason. So I'm looking excited for what the season has to bring.
Actually, yeah. I know you call it readiness. Is it readiness season you called it?
Yeah, readiness.
Not preseason, readiness. Getting ready for the NRLW season. What has been your hardest session?
Oh, I think the hardest sessions would be the Saturday ones. I have actually done a 1.2 every Saturday.
What? Really?
Oh, the ones with the turns where you run out 20 back, 40 back, 60 back five times?
Yep. So I've done one every week for the last 4 weeks.
What's the benchmark time these days?
So benchmark is under 5:34 backs, and then forwards is around that 6-minute mark. But, you know, myself, I like to dabble sometimes between being a middle and being a back. So I haven't hit the benchmark yet as why I've done four so far.
Oh, I like that one where you decide to be a middle on the weekend when you have to run and get under a certain time. And you're outside back when you do contact. I like that trick.
I know Castle Hill's massive there, up where you are. Have you run Castle Hill yet?
We haven't actually run it yet, but they've been teasing us almost every session with it. So I feel like, you know, it's a traditional thing to do as a Cowboys player. So I can see that one definitely happening in the next couple of weeks.
I knew he was going to try and get away out of this, the 1.2. So me and Toops, fun fact, we played together at the Cronulla Sharks in the NRL, and we used to do the 1.2, and I used to leave his, you know, leave him behind. What was your fastest time, Toops?
That's why I'm happily retired and I'm on the mic right now, you know.
And then they'd have to do the extras on the Saturday morning. They used to call it the, we won't say the word, but the F Club.
we'll call it the extras club. Do you guys have to
club.
Do the extras club if you don't make the time?
Yep, you do the extras club. You get the touch on the shoulder, you know, off it con. I seen my, it's so funny, I've got a good relationship with my strength and conditioning coach.
Very smart.
And I actually touched my shoulder before he come over because I was like, I know I'm going to be in this club anyways. I'll just touch it.
Talking about the Cowboys NRLW season, have you had their meetings where you've gone through and spoke about what culture you want to bring or create and, you know, speak about some of your team goals as well?
Yeah, we have. And I think it's been really good. I think from the beginning, we had a meeting leading into the season on teams, actually, and we laid down what we wanted to do and what we wanted to be as a team and as a group of women. And I think, you know, I can't give away too much, but I think we've definitely hit the nail on the head already in the preseason, like readiness season. So I think it's looking good, and I think you'll be able to see that, especially in our season ahead, what we wanted to be. And I definitely think that will show on and off the field.
Yeah, nice. And are you guys more player-driven at the moment, or is it more so coach-led at this time of the year?
Oh, it's a bit of a half-half. The staff do a lot for us, and they provide a lot for us. But as well, we know that as players, you know, coaches only can do so much, and at the end of the day it's 70 minutes of players driven efforts. So I think at the moment it's been a lot of half-half stuff, which has been good.
I know you can't share team goals or your team's those words that create the culture, but have you had some time on setting some goals, individual goals for yourself, some personal goals leading into the season?
Yeah, definitely. I set some goals of, you know, I want to play NRLW. Everyone wants to play. They want to get a spot on the team. So that's one of my overarching goals. But also for this season, I think I just want to grow as a player. There might be a positional change for me. So learning another position would also be something that I've put as a goal.
Well, as you get closer to the middle, you've got some experts here. If you ever need some feedback, reach out. But let's rip straight into it. NRLW, what do you got for us?
So unfortunately, proud Tongan woman Liz Tufana has been released from her contract with the Sydney Roosters on medical grounds after health conditions were detected earlier last week. Liz, I don't know if many of you know, we spoke a little bit about her previously, but she was actually the first ever American-based player to be contracted to an NRLW club after an impressive effort at the US Combined held earlier in the year. So we're wishing Liz all the best with her recovery.
Oh, that's a shame. I know, you know, she impressed during the Combine, and being a part of the Roosters, I know they would have done the right thing by her. So, yeah, I wish her all the best. And the big Origin decider this Thursday, game 3 for the women's. How do you think this game will be decided?
Oh, I think it's going to be a tough one. The weather conditions are apparently it's meant to rain. So, I don't know. Last time it rained, Queensland won. So, does that mean Queensland wins again?
Yeah, well, we've spoken to Sala and Sala Tongatuki about that and if they've been preparing for the rain. She said, not really, but yeah, I'm pretty sure she'd probably lie to us and she'll be preparing for every conditions. Have you managed to see any other teams up there in Townsville?
At the moment, the Blues are here. So Queensland doesn't fly until closer towards game day. But we did manage to see the Blues on Saturday after our training session. They rolled into the Cowboys and did their training session. They're looking really good. And I think, you know, they did take the loss last game, but I think they've got a lot of confidence to bring to the third one. They know how to battle out a game. They know how to win a game. They did it last year. They lost the first one. They won the second one. So it'll be quite interesting, and I think, you know, it'll be a big challenge for Queensland, especially coming in late to Townsville. You know, travel always takes it out of you as well. So that will be an interesting one to see how Queensland overcome.
Yeah, do you think there's going to be a big impact leaning towards New South Wales? You know, they've obviously gone there early. They're going to grain themselves into the weather change. You know, what are your thoughts on coming late for Queensland?
I do think it's hard. I think especially when you talk about Townsville, Townsville weather isn't like Brisbane weather. So the humidity here is a lot different. The temperature change, it does get quite hot and then it gets quite cool in the afternoon. So I think that will be interesting. But also, as you guys would know, travel also takes it out of you. You get fatigued. You can also get quite sick. And with that weather change, do some players get sick? So it's an interesting one. And I think Blues have played it pretty smart coming up earlier so that that transition can happen.
Oh, that's some good inside knowledge there. You mentioned that the Blues had been training at your facilities at the Cowboys. Did you manage to spy on the team while they were training? Did you, you know, get any info for the Queensland team?
Any insights?
I actually didn't really spy on them too much because I was so hungry at that point. It was like 10 o'clock and we had been there for a while, so I ended up just leaving. But they, like I said, they look confident. They look well prepared for this game ahead.
And someone, Destiny Brill, is out.
Yes, unfortunately, she was ruled out earlier last week with a calf injury. They have brought a replacement in for her, being a young Cowboys player, but it's very sad news for Destiny. She's been a key player in the last couple of series games, and I think they'll really miss her in that middle. She's a strong ball carrier and a very talented hooker, so it'll be unfortunate.
No, you're right. Well, I'm looking forward to game three. Just quickly, what's your thoughts? The woman's being able to play three games. You must feel great to be a part of that movement and that popularity around the women's game and the growth of it and them getting that decider match that they didn't get in the previous years.
Oh, 100%. It's the best thing that's ever happened for women's rugby league and especially for State of Origin. You know, I feel like you get a draw in both those two games and we finally get a third game to go, okay, so who's the real winner here? And, you know, off the back of last year when we did see a 1-1 win, it was tough for both teams, you know. There wasn't actually a real winner. So for the first time ever, we'll have a real winner, which I'm excited for.
Let's get it.
Yeah, I did also notice there that there's a bigger, Salah was saying there's a bigger media presence for this game. Did you notice more media up there?
Oh, 100%. There's a lot more coverage, a lot more media, but Townsville is the place. Townsville is a great place. They love their footy here in Far North Queensland. But even the stadium, I don't know if you guys know, but it lights up with different colours for different events. Yeah. And lately it's been lighting up with the maroon and blue colours. So the presence of faces of the girls on the screens around here, the fact that a lot of people are talking about the game, it's great to see.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing your insight from Game 3 being up there in Townsville next Monday. Let's rip straight into Rugby Union.
Yeah, over to Rugby Union. You got Rugby Sevens pools for the Olympics. They came out over the weekend. Who have Fiji got? Yeah, to give us an insight a little bit about that.
So Fiji have been named a part of Pool A, which consists of New Zealand, Canada and China. That will be super exciting for them. I think in the build-up to it, they'll be looking forward to versing some of those teams, especially someone like New Zealand and Canada. So exciting news for Fiji to have finally been announced in Pool A.
Yeah, nice. And I noticed that there was no other Pacifica teams added to the Olympic Sevens. Is that right?
Yes, unfortunately, based on the World Rugby Sevens repechage, which took place over the weekend, no other Pacific teams qualified for the Olympic Sevens women's competition, with PNG actually having to withdraw earlier last week from the repechage, and with Samoa going down in the pool rounds against Argentina and Kenya.
Awesome. Shelley, anything else from around the grounds?
Yes, so I actually have two good news stories. Waratahs actually held their season's award night on Wednesday last week, and proud Samoan and Wallaroos international Atasi Lafai was awarded Women's Player of the Year for the Waratahs. We've been talking a lot about her, especially in the Wallaroos area and the Waratahs area, and she has had an incredible season. So it's exciting to have seen her being awarded Women's Player of the Year.
Let's go.
The other bit of news, the Wallaroos will play a doubleheader against Fijiana in Sydney on Saturday, the 6th of July. So the squad will come together ahead of the clash next week. So this game will allow the squad to build in preparation for the WXB, which is just under 100 days away.
Nice. Oh,
you're onto it, Shelley. You are onto it. You want to know some other news I shared with Moment of the Week? I scored 3 tries in the weekend for my club.
Shelley, the oldest guy in A grade over here, is scoring 3 tries.
I reckon they just might have felt a bit sorry for you by the sounds of that.
Shelley, thanks again. Have a great week. Train hard, and we'll catch you next Monday on Nijin Footy.
Catch you next Monday. Thanks, guys.
Here in the Pacific, disasters are inevitable. Floods, cyclones, tsunamis, fires, earthquakes. Whatever the disaster, if it strikes your home, there is a way you can be prepared. A go bag. A bag of essential items that could save your life in a disaster. You should pack your go bag now so that if there is a disaster, you can pick it up and go. The things you should put in it are water, food, medicine, toiletries, hand sanitizer, and a first aid kit. You should also pack a radio, blankets, protective clothing, garbage bags, a light, small tools like a knife, a can opener, and a whistle to alert emergency services. Oh, and don't forget copies of important documents. Disasters may be inevitable, but the loss of your life or your family are not. Prepare your go bag now and stay tuned to ABC Radio Australia.
This is Nijin Footy.
Well, welcome back to Nijin Footy. You're here with Toops and my favourite cousin of them all, T. very, very grateful to have the one and only Pepesana Patafilo here on the show today. A little bit about Peps. He has come from the Wellington Lions NPC team. He's won a Super Rugby title with the Crusader, and now he is the franchise player at Moana Pacifica in the Super Rugby team. So, pleasure to have you, mate. You're expensive, and we appreciate your time.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. Thanks for having me. Pleasure.
Man, what are you doing with yourself in the off-season these days? You know, you've got so much time on your hands.
Man, honestly, just dad life, eh? School drop-offs, school pickups, swimming lessons, their trainings. But in between that, just some downtime and training as well. So, chill.
What's harder, dad life or, I guess, doing extra training sessions?
Bro, dad life is much harder, man. It ain't for everyone.
Oh, man, you're probably thinking, oh, let's get back to training as soon as possible. Right?
Yeah, that's my quick getaway is training.
Hey, you reminded me of a story. So just a quick one. When it was off-season, Toops was a bit younger. Him and his brother come over to Australia. And it was during Christmas, and me and the boys were doing some training. We took him through a rugby league session, and he thought we were joking. And then he's like, nah, this can't be real. You don't train like this. then when he made the move from union to league, he soon realized, you know, it was normal to train hard.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of the season, you know, you've had, you know, a couple of seasons across, you know, different teams, Hurricanes, Crusaders, and now Moana. You know, have you spent much time, I guess, debriefing, reflecting on what you've just done in the first year?
Yeah, I have a little bit, obviously. You have heaps of time after school drop off and pick up. So, yeah, I've had a bit of time and just been grateful, man. It's been a journey, as you know. Yeah. But it's not always easy, yeah. It's not always rainbows and sunshines in this life, but yeah, we stuck in it, man.
Yeah, we like to call it the roller coaster ride, the never ending roller coaster ride. Hey, so the Moana Pacifica, was there, when you were coming over from Hurricanes, you know, playing for Hurricanes and the Crusaders, some great clubs, and then joining the Moana Pacifica, did you feel like, you know, you were in a position where you had to help influence some of the other players that were from the islands of Samoa or Tonga?
Yeah, definitely. I think if you look at our team, there's not much experience in professional footy. So you got guys coming from the NRC and Aussie, and then some boys coming straight from club or just playing Mitre 10. So, having that super experience, definitely I felt like it helped trying to just guide the young boys and mentor them a little bit, but man, they're so talented, man.
What were some of the things where, you know, some of the local players from the islands where you think they needed improvement on, whether it be, you know, diet habits or, you know, just some of the rugby technical stuff? Where do you think some of those improvements can be made?
I think more around just the game. I think understanding maps, understanding plays, but also like understanding different pictures. Like, it's not always going to be the same picture, so you can't always do the same thing. So I think just getting that understanding for them is that once you see that different picture, then being able to do a different call. But yeah, again, man, they're so talented. And once I think they get that, man, they're just going to go off. So yeah.
So I was just thinking, who's your favorite player to play with in Moana at the moment?
Probably Christian Lelefano. His experience, man, there's nothing, like, you can't buy it. Like, guys with experience, they're just calm, cool, know what to do, know how to gather their troops, but also just how much of a good person he is, man.
Yeah.
Such a top dude.
Yeah, it's awesome to see how ingrained in his culture he is as well, his Samoan heritage. Did you notice, I guess, the big difference between having that connection around your culture in Moana in comparison to maybe just a couple of islanders in the other teams?
Oh, man, such a big difference. But with this team, you know, they're about it, you know. Yeah. They didn't do it for show. They're actually about the life, about singing songs about Jesus and living that cultural life. So it was cool, man. Definitely felt plastic going in, man.
But, yeah, how's your fat Samoa? How's it going, brother?
We got a number one rule here on Nijan Footy. You're not allowed to say you're plastic. If you've got that blood in you, brother, you're not plastic.
I take it back.
Hey, we've had the skipper, the great Sekope Kipu on here on Nijan Footy, and you know, he speaks about the same things as well, the culture and the you know, faith and how you all bring it together at the Moana Pacifica. What was he like as a leader?
Man, he was actually my neighbor in the locker room. He was a good leader, man. You always need those leaders that always bat for the boys, you know, after leadership meetings, you know, he's getting what do the boys need? So man, he's been an awesome leader, but also an awesome character, man, considering his resume.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of resumes, man, your head coach Tana Umanga, he's you know, one of the greats, the New Zealand greats. What was he like as a coach? Did you manage to learn much from him this season?
Yeah, he was good. So we're in the defense strat together. Learned a lot of him, but also good people person he is. So yeah, I think big things to come for Moana.
Yeah, do you look at him a lot differently now that he's a coach? Obviously, as a player, he's like a global icon. Then, you know, when it comes into coaching, the super direct, you know, you got to hit the X's and O's. How's that experience been from going from, I guess, your idol to now he's your coach?
Yeah, that's pretty buzzy. He always talks about, because there's a PlayStation 2 at our base, and he always talks about, oh yeah, I'm on that game. And he's like, I'm sure he's like 99 on Rugby 08 or something.
Yeah. So, who's the 08 king? Who's the 08 king?
Oh, probably Curran. Curran's pretty good.
Man, I'm surprised Curran would even know OA. He's like 19, isn't he? He's a very baby. Hard.
Yeah. But he's been good. Pretty buzzy because you obviously, you know, look up to him. But it's been a good relationship there.
Bro, you mentioned, I know we say you're not allowed to say it here on Nijan Footy, but the word plastic and your connection to your culture, how Moana has brought you closer. What were some of the things that you learned in camp around the boys that brought you closer to your culture?
Yeah, I think the first word was unapologetic. We're unapologetic Pacifica. So I think as soon as you know that, and you, like you said, you got that blood in you, man, you're unapologetic about it. You're unashamed about your culture. And I think that's the first thing to identity is that once you're unapologetic about who you are, it automatically brought me closer to my culture. So, yeah.
Yeah, shouts the world, the word proud, eh? Like being proud of your culture. And once you own it, once you know who you are, you can represent that. And like you said, you know, the Moana Pacifica about it.
And obviously everybody's, because you're obviously from Wellington. You've got guys from the NRC and from Australia. Then you've got guys from different cities. Do you think that's been a big adjustment for you guys to come together at, in Auckland and try to essentially combine together as one?
Yeah, it's not too bad. I wouldn't say it was tough, but I think it was a challenge, obviously, because a lot of us guys, we're new to that kind of environment. You know, we've never been in that kind of team. So I think adjusting that and then learning about our values as a culture. I think it took a little bit of time, but it was obviously a learning for everyone, I think, and for me as well.
It must take you back to some of the mistakes you used to make back in your younger days, right? Was there anything in particular you can remember, like, man, these boys are making the same mistakes I was making back then? Can you recall any mistakes that you used to make that you kind of laugh about now that the same that the boys are doing, like, as well?
On field or off field, like?
Both.
Right, I'll tell you what, this is what Christian Newell, he's like, bro, we're wearing our ears to like a function, and I said to Newell, what if I wear my shoes? And he looked at me like this, and then he looked back at his food and just started eating, and then I was like, okay, sweet, I won't wear my shoes. And then I talked to him after, he goes, oh, that was the Balangi in you. And I said, sorry, man, that's Wellington in me.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, don't wear your shoes off your ear, by Dunga, if you're going to an actual function.
Well, speaking of your Samoan culture, tell us about, you know, your villages, you know, where your family's from, that bloodline of yours. And, have you spent much time back at home on the motherland?
So mum's from Mangiangi and my dad's from Wailima, but I actually have never been to Samoa, so that's definitely something on the bucket list as well.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, crazy, yeah.
So playing for Moana, it must, like, gives you a real sense of connection, right, to you and to your family. Must feel quite special, right?
Yeah, 100, man, 100. Because if you think about it, man, it's a team for the people.
Yeah.
It's a team representing the people. So we always try to do our best. And our people deserve that. So we don't take it lightly. So
I know you said that you haven't been to Samoa, but do you know much about your parents' story and how they transferred, or even your grandparents, when they moved and migrated to New Zealand?
Yeah, so my dad, he wasn't working. My mum was pregnant, and then my mum's family, they like kind of looked down on my mum. So my dad was working. He didn't go to school. He started working at 12. So he saved up a lot of money, and then him and my mum just ran away to NZ by themselves with little cash. And I remember hearing stories that my dad used to carry couches like a kilometer away to like remove stuff because we had no vehicles. So I was thinking, man, I'll be like all our parents, you know. So it's crazy what they went through, man.
Man, your dad was built different if he's carrying them couches up the hill, brother.
Hey, working at 12 years old as well.
Yeah, I know.
My kids won't get off the PlayStation. They get angry when I tell them to fold the clothes. So did they move straight to Wellington and then?
Moved straight to Wellington, and then started their family there. So
how many brothers and sisters do you have?
So I got 6 brothers. I'm the youngest.
Is there any particular brother that you're grateful for over the years? Because, man, 6 is a lot, right? And you kind of take little bits from each and every one of them. But can you say, I guess, a big thanks to any particular one of them?
Hey, just keep in mind that he's going to clip this and send it to one brother, also send it to all the other brothers and say, what about Pips?
Yeah. All of them, probably in particular.
Come on, man. You just don't want Mussy on you, eh?
Mussy has been big for me, man. I think we obviously said that it's a roller coaster journey. So I think having some encouraging messages or someone there when you're going through that roller coaster is key. So yeah, Mussy has been a big help.
And yourself, as a father of two, you know, how do you navigate both footy and fatherhood?
I think it's tough at the start, when you're trying to make it, it's hard to switch off a little bit. You know, you're always trying to get better looking at clips. But as I go older, you realize, man, you're never going to get that time back with them. So I think just being present when I'm home with them and making sure I'm getting my work done before I get home or after they're asleep. So, yeah, man, being a dad is the greatest gift. So as you guys know, man, it's awesome.
Yeah, and you've got an awesome partner, Destiny. She's been a great, pillar in your career. How big of a presence has she been in molding your career?
Oh, man. I don't say it lightly, but if it wasn't for her, man, I'd even know if I'd crack it or not. So, oh, man, you need to pray a warrior behind you, man. So,
how old are your two kids?
So I've got a 6-year-old and a 1-year-old. Yeah, girl and a boy.
Oh, yeah. Is it important to you to, you know, pass on some of the cultural stuff that you've learned through your experiences, and so they still feel connected to their culture, so they're not saying the word plastic when they grow up as well?
Yeah, 100%. I think when you take them over to Nana and Papa's, that helps heaps, man. Mm. So they're always giving the old school ways. So I'm sure when they grow up, man, they'll still be in touch with it. So
yeah, and I'm sure they're learning a lot more now that they're seeing their dad playing for, you know, the people's team at the moment, and gradually, you know, as you see more, you learn more, right? So it's
funny that, sorry, a quick story at Lowndes Daycare, because at Moana, you know, we're all about being unashamed and unapologetic and saying your name correctly, because my daughter's name's Zion, and then I heard the teacher say, Zion, and then I go to my daughter, make sure you tell her your name's Zion. And then she walks over and she goes to the teacher, my name's Zion. And the teacher's like, okay, sorry, Zion. But I like that. That's a proud dad moment, you know, like getting someone else to say your name properly.
Bro, that's the best, because I grew up, you know, the way you pronounce my name is Tinirau. But, bro, I had teachers saying Tiniru, Tinirau. And I'll just go, yep, sweet, you can say however you want to say it. I'll just stay quiet. But for you to be able to teach your kids to be proud of their name and proud of who they are, you know, that plants a seed for when they do grow up. You know, they don't have to be embarrassed or ashamed. So, hats off to you, brother.
Yeah, well, I think Zion goes over to the teacher and say, hey, my name's Zion. Also, my dad plays super rugby, so you better watch out. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, she got some backbone to lean off, which is crack up. But obviously, knowing you really well, bro, you played heaps of teams. Just taking it back to rugby, Blues, you know, they won the grand final on Saturday. You played against both. You know, leading into that, who did you actually think was going to win?
I was actually 50-50, because you're going off the two semi-finals games. The Blues pretty much are walking the park a little bit, and then the Chiefs playing the game of their lives. So it was hard to tell. It was hard to tell for me. So I was 50-50.
Yeah, do you think the rain played a big factor into it? Because, you know, it was a very four-dominated game. So how much of an influence does rain impact the back line?
Oh, heaps, man. You could see the Chiefs trying to find their rhythm, trying to spread the ball out wide. And when they did, they obviously did a bad kick, but it definitely plays a big part, and especially in your 10s game driving. So. Yep.
And just on your guys' season, the Moana Pacifica, what are your thoughts on the overall season that you guys had?
Yeah, it was okay. We're proud of ourselves. We were aiming for five wins, because in the past five wins, teams went through. So we were trying to get five wins to get into that top eight, but fell a bit short. But it's been all right. I think we're building nicely. If you look at other teams, when they first started, they didn't win any games. So, we're proud. So we're building for bigger next year, though.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's a season that you should be proud of. And I thought, you know, you guys and your leaders and Tana Umanga also done a great job, you know, this season. We've seen a game being hosted in Tonga where the Moana took on the Highlanders. How cool to be to, you know, hopefully take a game to Samoa one day.
I think there has been a game in Samoa, but man, it'll be awesome, man, and hopefully I'll be there for that one too. So, since I've never been, so it'll be cool, man. Cool giving back.
You know what would be even cool, and this is probably my last question for you, Pepesana. In 2027 World Cup, are we going to be seeing you in the Manu Samoa blue jersey or what?
100%, man, 100%.
You'll be speaking fluent Samoan by then, yeah?
Yeah, I might have a chief title by then. So,
Oh, man.
All right, last question from me before we go. Favorite Islander food?
Man. So I had because I was at the rinse, gongai yesterday, had supper soy, chop soy yesterday. But, man, I'm missing pork buns at the moment. I don't even know if that's a Islander pork buns.
Yeah.
They got to be deep fried too, man. Come on now.
Hey, yeah, I know, deep fried. I know it's off season, but you said your training wasn't as intense, so you know, just get that right balance. But if you want to eat more, my trick is just train harder.
Yep, harder.
Well, thanks for having, thanks for jumping on our show, Pipisana. Man, we wish you all the best for your preseason NPC coming up and for Moana Pacifica for the 2025 season, brother. Next thing you know, we'll see you in blue.
100. Thanks for having me, Usos.
Nation knowledge.
Well, Toots, you step into my realm.
Oh, here we go.
So this is the time where we like to end Nijan Footy Mondays with Nijan Knowledge. I'll be asking you three questions. Next week, Sam will be asking me. We keep an update of the score, and the loser at the end of the season has to get a Nijan Footy tattoo on their bum.
Man, how big is this tattoo?
Oh, man, you should see some of Sammy's tattoos. He'll fit nicely.
He got a couple of scribbles on his bums, surely.
But the score is Sam's on 8, I'm on 7.5. So he's only up by 0.5 of a point. He's been pretty filthy lately because my questions have been harder than his. I'll let him decide next week when he comes in, or we'll see how you go with these questions.
All right, let's see what we got.
All right, so first question. You watch NRL?
Of course.
You got a few players that represent or you manage?
Sure do. After. Hit me.
Well, who is sitting eighth on the NRL ladder?
Sitting eighth?
I'll make it easy.
Oh, no, give me a multiple give you choice. Four.
So you got the Cowboys, the Sea Eagles, the Broncos, or the Raiders?
Easy, it's Cowboys.
Yeah. Oh, that one was a bit too easy. Jeez.
Yeah, harder, you got harder for some.
How'd you know? You got.
I'm the NRL guru, the brother. Point. I'm the NRL guru. I'm just looking out for Sam here.
All right.
Well, I want to see a tattoo on your bum.
Looking at you can have that point then. Oh man, I'm a bit upset. That's how I'm filthy. Anyways, this question is: how well do you know Sammy Wykes?
Oh mate. It depends what Wykes it is.
Well, Sammy played 109 Super Rugby games for three different clubs. Do you know what clubs?
Yep. Western Force, Waratahs, and the Japan team. Am I right or am I right?
What's the Japan team?
The Japan team is called Sunwolves. Bang!
Yes, so that's Thank not you. The question. The question is, how many tries did he score in total?
What?
How many tries did he score in total? I just wanted to see if you knew how well you knew him. I'll give you options. He's got 6, 8, 10, or 12 total tries in Super Rugby for the three teams, 109 games in total.
I think it's 8.
Oh, it's wrong. It was 6.
Oh, man, you give me a point for that.
At least you knew what teams he played for. Sorry, that wasn't the question.
You're lying. That was definitely the question.
Look, I just wanted to know.
That's definitely the question.
So you got that one wrong.
You got to check these answers there, Sammy.
All right, so that was how well do you know Sammy. This one is how well do you know Nijan Footy. We have Culture Shock, which you've gave us a bit of an update on the country, Tuvalu.
Yep.
So this one was shared on Nijan Footy. The word tattoo comes from which Nijan country? In this country, they call it Tatao.
Oh, Samoa.
Samoa is wrong. It's Tahiti.
Oh, man.
You got one point.
So but... I hit it wrong, man.
All right, Toots, you get the 1 point. Sammy will be proud of you. But that's it for today for Nijan Footy. Remember, you can catch up on all chats with the likes of Ivania Politi, who is playing this Thursday in the Women's Decider in the State of Origin, and Xavier Coates, who will line up on Wednesday night as Queensland try to seal the series, wherever you get your podcasts. Ka kite.
So far, so four. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.